Now, Dan, here's the best way to get in. Here, watch this. You just sit right here, kind of, you know.
Right.
And then you slide your butt in, and they got it. And there's a handle right here.
I got it.
There you go. And then just swing in and swing your feet around the best you can.
Look at us.
Me and Uncle Dan are going to go for a little ride.
It's like being in the cockpit of some space shuttle.
It really is a space shuttle. And there's no trunk, nothing.
It's got a electric motor in it for the front wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And when it stops, once it's warmed up, the engine goes off. You think, hey, the damn thing's stalling. It's not stalling.
Now, how many horsepower are you saying?
1,000.
The brakes are so good, it probably scares you half to death thinking, this son of a bitch ain't going to stop.
The first time it did, but now I realize the brakes are so good on it.
I haven't even pushed on them yet. Look at these guys. There's all these young kids in the neighborhood. They're going,
you know, for me, it's like a carnival ride.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Stand By Your Band, the podcast where comedians defend music they like that other people give them a little guff about. I am, of course, Tom Takkar, the Wolf of Dog Street, and once again, I am joined by this Prince of Snarkness, the Dog of Wolf Street, Tommy McNamara. And let's just go ahead and introduce our guest while we're at it.
We're so excited to have this man. He is the first influencer we've ever had on Stand By Your Band.
That's probably true.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Z-Man, Tony Sarrett.
Thank you so much. No influencers? You never got PewDiePie to come on here?
We've been trying to get PewDiePie.
We should get him on here. This guy is so popular.
He's a regular on the Patreon.
That's true. Yeah.
We're kind of auditioning him for the real show. Too much hate speech for the regular feed.
Yeah.
And he just wants to defend the Madden soundtrack. We're excited to have you.
Excited to be here.
Let's talk about the clip.
We should give context to that, because that is a clip that everyone should look up called, and this is actually the title of a video, Sammy Hagar Takes Dan Rather for a Ride in His Ferrari.
It's funny how excited Dan Rather seems. He's like, this is like a carnival ride. What a terrible way for him to die. Today, Dan Rather dead. He's announcing himself being dead.
He's so old. Yeah. How many horsepower? What number matters? Horsepower.
Right. What would impress people?
And it's pulled by a horse? Or when you say horsepower, it's just a figure of speech.
This is the last thing from that. This is him getting out of the car, Dan Rather.
Oh, yep.
You don't get out of this car just as much as you unfold.
He's so
I love Dan Rather. I used to work across the hall from him.
Whoa.
I used to work at Kroger. At Sirius, I would see him almost every day. He was very nice. He said hello to me.
Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, but... That was Dan Rather talking to old Sammy Hagar. Boy, before we get into Sammy Hagar, by the way, Tommy, you had something else you wanted to talk about that is really in your crawl.
As you guys know, we here at Stand By Your Band Industries have had a lot of issues.
You started an industry?
We've had a lot of issues with
what if you incorporated the show privately without me knowing?
Oh, you don't get a slice, baby. Yeah, we've had our issues with in-house sexual harassment, so I had to undergo a training. At my other job.
Tim McLaughlin has been training.
I had to do one of those training courses at work today. Not mandated because.
Oh, is that what this is from?
Everyone has to do it once a year, once every other year. I had to watch a video, and I thought that there's something in it that drove me insane. So I'm gonna play.
And you found the video, or you recorded it?
It on my computer screen from my phone.
Amazing.
So this is just a short clip, but it's kind of a classic thing. I'll tell you what happens after too. But this is where's the dongle?
Oh, dongle is right here.
So this is a joke.
Where's the dongle? Sounds like you need to go back to your sexual harassment course.
Do you remember there was
a big crotch,
big stink a couple years ago? Somebody this woman was at a conference and guys were making jokes about the word dongle, and then she tweeted it. And
is that
it caused
true?
Like this big chaos, a storm about sexism in tech. Look up this scandal. God. Anyways, I'm sure Rather has covered it. You get it from him, a true newsman.
This scandal is
me.
Like a carnival ride to me.
Big dongles. Sounds like a joke for the boys in the locker room, but you know, I imagine that's how he covered it.
you don't get out of a situation. Harassment case, you unfold it. Okay, just to set this up visually, I tweeted this also, but what happens is a woman spills a coffee on the table in a meeting.
Okay.
And I need to say up top that she's not very hyper when she does it, which will come into play when I tell you why this joke confuses me.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Okay, this morning I'd like to talk about our quarterly projections and benchmarks for next year, but I wanted to say what it...
Make mine decaf.
So the joke is, she spills the coffee, yeah. And then one of the guys leans to another guy and goes, make mine decaf.
Wait, so this is about sexual harassment, though.
The sexual harassment has not started yet.
Is this, because I've done a lot of these, is this the part, is this one of the things where after they ask you which jokes are sexual harassment and which aren't? Because I've done a lot of these in my day.
They didn't do that, but okay. The sexual harassment happens right after this. Where
so...
they,
just to be clear, they tried to like write a joke into the sexual harassment.
So the joke is not part of the training. It's not like which jokes are okay to make.
So here's my question.
Yes.
For maybe he riffed it because it really has no place in the video.
Okay.
He says, make mine decaf. Now I thought, okay, this joke would make sense if she was like really jittery and that's why she.
Right.
Because he's like, oh, I don't want to be all caffeinated like this crazy lady.
Yeah, yeah.
But really, she just looked very normal. That's how he's supposed to coffee. And he says, make mine decaf.
I have a theory.
Okay.
I just came up with it because I saw this earlier today on Twitter. Follow Tommy on Twitter, by the way. He's got some
if
great
you don't follow
tweets.
Tommy on Twitter already, what are
I guess
you
if you're listening to his podcast, that's like three steps past following
you don't
him
like
on Twitter.
Modern Dennis Miller?
I just came up with a theory. What the joke is, it's as if the coffee that she spilled was being served at a coffee shop. So he is saying something that one would say humorous in a situation where you've ordered a coffee, right?
Sure.
But he's acting as if the spill is a transaction in the coffee shop. You see what I'm saying?
I understand.
And so he's going as if she has served the guy that she's...
Yes.
Well, the one guy that spilled coffee on a regular.
Yeah.
And now this guy's going to get a coffee. Make mine
so
decaf.
I think what would have worked as better if he was like, I hope she spilled some almond milk next.
Yes, that would have given it context. That would have been elevation. If you've taken like UCB or some of these comedy trainings, you know you have to go almond milk. That'd be second beat. And then third beat. And the last guy goes, I'd like a glass of dinosaur semen. And that you're allowed to do that on the last beat of the Herald. Because if this was improvised, that's the sort of structure that works best. So anyways, I think this is a sort of classic first beat joke of creating the game of the scene where spilling a coffee is serving a coffee.
Well, the way they heighten it
is
the other coworker says, I wish she spilled some on her blouse.
Oh!
Then it'd be a wet t-shirt contest, which first of all,
that's
it's
really
a horrifying scenario where
like
a woman
scalding?
Is like scalded.
And also it's brown on
and
her shirt.
She's wearing a red shirt and it's coffee and there's no way that would create the effects that they're talking about.
This is the horniest guy of all time trying to really stretch something out.
And then later she comes and tells him it was inappropriate and he says, we can talk about it at my place.
Oh no.
Oh, God.
And that's when I realized he is not the protagonist as I had thought before.
Wait, is that the guy? Wait, sorry. So the guy that said make mine a decaf also said the wet t-shirt
thing?
No, that's his friend who he leaned into.
Got it. So I mean, yeah, I don't know. Unfortunately, they kind of leave this great sort of comedic territory unexplored because they have to get across this message of sexual harassment instead of doing my funny skit where everybody in a meeting pretends like the people spilling things are serving them the things.
I wish she'd spilled dinosaur semen on her shirt. Then it'd be a wet t-shirt contest.
Well, you could do it. It doesn't have to be sexual harassment. Then you could go into like another, I don't know. Then you'd probably, again, in improv, you'd sweep at that point because you've hit the third. Anyways, but I'm not trying to take the fun out of comedy with sort of rules. But anyways, this guy, I don't know. What do you think? Sorry. I totally hijacked the thing. Tell me, what do you think was the point of the joke?
I don't know. Yours makes sense, but...
Yeah, I don't know if mine's right, though.
That's probably the closest thing to logic we're going to get to.
Yeah.
Because, but I will say, this is an opportunity to promote ourselves as punch up for this sort of thing.
Yep. Yeah, we are.
I think it's a job that needs to be filled.
Yeah.
Clearly, whoever's working in this business is not doing a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like he needs the caffeine, to be honest.
I think we should make the Patreon just sexual harassment videos from now on.
Train the listeners, yeah. I think that's so fun. Like, when you take those quizzes, they're so funny because they're multiple choice. And there's always, like, the one that's the right one is always so obvious.
Right.
Where it's like, what should she do? And A is like, follow the company guidelines. You're like, well, that's going to be it. And then B will be like, threaten her life. You're like, well, I think it's A.
Man, they should do like a choose your own adventure version where it like you flip to page 84.
Like that Black Mirror up like Bandersnatch. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good idea. Well,
I do want to, while we're still on it, while I still have the cord, I want to play another brief, because we're talking about Sammy Hagar today.
Yes.
Yes.
Who can not drive 55 from what I've heard.
Famously.
I read the story about that song today. Is that related to what you're playing?
I just want to play this dance while we're still talking about old
days. Yeah, I didn't know. I mean, I know the song. I didn't know there was a history.
There's a whole story behind
it. I know something about the Carter years, but this is maybe a more personal.
Yeah, this is a personal anecdote from him.
Wow. What?
Why don't you tell that while I find this video?
Oh. He got a ticket.
He got a ticket on his return home from, he was like overseas and he came back to the States. And I think he was driving from New York upstate or whatever. And then is that part of this video?
Let's play this video and then we'll
the
play
big
the song.
Interview with Dan Rather. All new episode with special guest Sammy Hagar.
On March 27th, 1987, you perform your first show with Van Halen in Shreveport, Louisiana. I want to put an exclamation point. Remember, I'm a Texan. I know Shreveport for the hayloft country music. First of all, what were you doing in Shreveport, Louisiana?
We played, and I played before Van Halen, every city. I played Shreveport 10 times.
This was not the Louisiana Hayride.
No, we were in the arena. 10,000 people, 12,000, sold out. The first show, the album had, I remember all Valerie Bertinelli's hometown. All the hoopla about me joining the band, but no album had come out yet because we hadn't finished the record, but our manager booked the tour. Right. The tour sold out, you know, first day, every show we did, 136 shows, whatever it was. And that show, I was scared to death because when we're going out, we're going to play the whole new album. I said, I don't want to play the old stuff. Let's put, you know, and Eddie and all, we all agreed, hey, let's show them what we got. We had a fantastic record, 50.
Well, you're also under pressure because you're succeeding. I didn't use the word replace. You're succeeding David Lee Roth. Got to be a lot of pressure.
Okay. That's a great place to end it.
I love that he just says no.
And that's the end of the interview.
It's so good.
But okay, that interview is so funny to me because he says, what were you doing in Shreveport, Louisiana? It's like he was with the band on tour.
He just said we were there to play a concert. What were you doing in Shreveport?
How did they find you in Shreveport, Louisiana? No, I came with them.
he thought that they just discovered him there.
Well, another thing was weird. Dan Rather seems shocked that they would be listening to music other than country. He seems to have not been back there in 50 years. It's like, now they have electricity there now, because when I used to go to Shreveport.
yeah, how did you plug in your amps? That's amazing. So should we listen to the song before we go further?
I'm going to turn this over to you.
Okie dokie.
I feel like we should talk about this video, too, because it's a famous video.
Yeah, have you seen the video, Tony?
I actually haven't seen it in a while, but I mean, I remember he's driving a red car, and he gets pulled over, I think.
So Dan Rather is in the passenger seat. they just drove together.
Yeah. But I haven't. I guess I haven't watched it in a long time.
Dan freaks out. He says, keep driving. I got warrants, he says. Okay, let's hear some of I Can't Drive 50.
So the video starts with him as if he's a NASCAR driver. He's got a helmet on. He has a pit crew. They come. And then it's just him trying to like get around different cars, but it's like he's like frustrated. It's not like him like free in the open road. It's like, I mean, I guess that makes sense with the song.
Sure,
but
he grabs a cop by the jacket. I remember and shakes him around. It's very thrilling.
Is there a courtroom scene in this?
This
later?
I can't remember.
I we think did later see, we saw a piece of paper that says. Sammy Hagar like catch him and says $1,000 reward, which is like not that big of a reward.
Yeah.
Well, back then it was like $1 million.
Yeah,
1984.
Yeah, they take him to court. Okay, now I remember.
Yeah, he's being tried by a jury of his peers, and he's still wearing this weird yellow and red jumpsuit in the court.
Well, they just take him right from the car to the trial, which is I don't know.
That's actually
speaking,
good.
You usually get to speak to a lawyer first, but. Not when you're dealing with Judge Julius T. Hangman. By the way, that's what it said on his nameplate. Yeah.
Now, Hangman is notoriously pretty lenient, actually.
Yeah. Kind of an ironic.
Ironically, yeah.
It's like with a really big guy they call Tiny. Oh, no, Hangman. No, it's a joke. He lets everybody go. But no, I think he got sentenced to the death penalty. This looks like his band. Oh. Are they gonna
that
break
must be
him
pretty
out?
Crazy to go so fast that you get sentenced to death.
Yeah.
The first comment on the YouTube video is, I crashed my car while listening to this. True story, LOL.
There's another story about someone.
Oh, this is great. Oh, they're giving him a guitar.
Now he's dancing. He's dancing on in the courtroom.
Oh,
he's got a guitar right in front of the judge. He's doing a solo.
They kicked over the judge, I think, and they're beating up the bailiffs.
You'd think Judge Hangman would not stand for this, this courtroom.
No,
they've taken the handcuffs.
I'd love if he yelled out, objection, and then started doing that.
Yeah, I feel like this video is going to have a funny twist at the end where there's like they get out of jail and there's like, whoa.
Sammy Hagar just did a backflip and caught his guitar for those
this
listening.
Actually is
that's
really
awesome.
Whoa, there's some wire work in this. He did like a kung fu wire jump over the judge, and now he's straight out of his
shoulder. Wonder he wasn't afraid of David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
So an old woman just took matters into her own hands and whacked him with an umbrella, and that's how he ended up getting caught again.
I know this video is going to twist. These 80s videos always have a funny twist where like they get locked up, and then it's like a hot babe is his cellmate or something.
Oh,
I don't know if that's what it
is,
but I bet something like that always happens in these 80s videos.
I miss when jails were co-ed.
Yeah. In the 80s,
Can we get to the end of this? There's got to be a twist. These videos always have twists. What's it going to be?
He's
going
to break.
He's breaking out of jail.
What?
He's back in the car.
Oh, shit.
Oh, he's just breaking out of jail, back in the car.
He's getting pulled over again.
But jeez, this is going to be a hot babe, I bet.
And then she like hops in the car with him, I bet.
Is it? He just escaped? That's it? Come on.
Ooh, the twist is that
there is
the last thing you see is a speed limit 55 with a red circle and a line through it.
Wow.
Which is truly a brilliant metaphor for the fact that he can't drive 55. Yeah.
The twist is
that's what the song's about.
That's actually what it means.
I can't drive.
Yes.
There you go.
No, the twist is that our prison system just can't hold down a white man.
Yeah.
So you told that story about the guy saying he crashed his car. The comment crashed his car listening to this. There's a famous person who was pulled over while listening to this song. Mm-hmm. Can you guess who it was?
I'll give
you a year.
One clue. Tony Meavers, Tony.
Vice presidential candidate.
Oh, well, that's hardly that.
Mondale?
No way. I'll tell you, it obviously must have been somebody more recent. Al Gore.
No.
Al Gore's
no.
never driven over 30 in his whole life.
Bad for the environment.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Paul Ryan.
No.
Okay. It was Sarah Palin.
You're right. I was going to say the doctor was the mom. It was a female candidate.
Her ass was trying to drive to Russia. That would have killed in 2012.
Yeah. Vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin was pulled over in her hometown of Wasilla, Alaska. Wasilla, Alaska, I want to ask you. on July 23rd, 2014, for speeding, she was reportedly going 63 miles per hour in her Toyota Tundra. The song was on the radio at the time, which may well have contributed to her fast driving.
What a lame story.
And then Hagar responded to the news by tweeting at her saying, "Dear at Sarah Palin, I heard you were going hashtag going rogue, grocer, on the gas pedal. Oh. I'll cover your ticket if you promise to do better next time. Hashtag I can't drive 55.
63 is nothing, by the way.
Yeah. If it's kind of crazy she did get pulled over for that. I think it was the liberal agenda that he pulled her up.
Yeah. She was shadow banned.
So this song, he wrote this song after...
So this is a solo song, we should clarify, since we were talking about Van Halen stuff.
Yeah, so he... I believe this is on VOA, which stands for...
Voice of America.
That is correct,
Video
sir.
On ass. What?
What? yeah, this is a comedy podcast.
Tony, try to sneak ass into more stuff that you say. Song origin, he was in a rent-a-car that wouldn't go much faster than 55 miles an hour, and he was on his way back from Africa. I did a safari for 3 months throughout Africa, a really great vacation after three lockbox. I was traveling for 24 hours. I got to New York City, changed planes, Albany, New York, got into a rental
car. Which flight numbers were those? We need a little more detail on this.
730 S. Got him. Let's see. I used to go to where the fuck was this? He was driving from Albany to somewhere, and he got a rental car at 2 a.m. burnt from travel. A cop stopped him for doing 62 on a 4-lane road where there was no one else in sight. Then the guy gave me a ticket. I was doing 62, and he said, "We give tickets around here for over 60," and I said, "I can't drive 55." I grabbed a paper and pen, and I swear the guy was writing the ticket, and I was writing the lyrics. I got to Lake Placid. I had a guitar set up there, and I wrote that song on the spot.
How does he know that the cop wasn't also writing lyrics?
Yeah, maybe the cop was writing a song that, like, you should drive 55. So the other thing surrounding this is while he was gone, I guess, there was a national law that the speed limit was 55, or like that you couldn't go over 55 everywhere.
Oh, really?
So it was this big thing.
It's related to the gas crisis, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah, they were, you know, you burn, when you start going over these high speeds, you use more gas. So that was the,
you know, I got some gas coming out of my ass.
I was going to say ass crisis. For me and my incel boys.
Both work. There is an ass crisis right now.
I think that, you know,
been on Reddit lately. The
ass honestly, sorry, I don't even know if that's true. I've been a nerd. I think that was something related to that. Anyway.
Well, the important thing is no one likes to fact check when they listen to a podcast.
Yeah,
that's true. We've never gotten any tweets from anybody who's also slightly annoyed.
Dan Rather was messing up the years in that video. Well, that's what all the YouTube comments were in that video.
Oh.
Yeah, because he says 87, you played your first show, and they had an album out in 86.
Oh, God, fucking Rather. Not even a real Van Halen fan. Don't interview Sammy Hagar. Get somebody that knows what he's talking about to do that interview, like...
Any trunk?
Yeah. Or what's that guy? Ricky Rackman. Do you know what I'm talking about? He was the host of MTV Headbangers Ball.
Oh, yeah. Yes, of course. I forgot about Headbangers Ball. I also want to point out this could be considered Hagar's foray into social awareness because it was about that law. While some rock stars
social
were concerned
awareness.
About the environment or civil rights, Hagar was upset with the lowering of highway and speed limits. He had a lot of support for his cause.
That is so funny.
He was concerned about the environment being too good. We got to use more gas. Yeah, it's kind of, he was anti-environment.
I just saw a squirrel smile. Before we get too deep into the show here, we should go to Jared.
Great.
I think so this is a weekly segment on the show. If you're a new listener, our dear friend and foe of the podcast, Jared Thompson, the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, and also co-founder of the Limestone Comedy Festival, which will be happening at the end of this very month, which we are in May right now. So go to that. It's featuring a bunch of the best comics in the country. It's very fun. And Jared and Matt Alonzo Morning put a lot of work into it. But nonetheless, we go to Jared each week for his thoughts on the show. He tends to be a stickler about shitty music or any music, really. So let's hear his thoughts on Sammy Hagar.
What's up, y'all? It's this week's It Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Sammy Hagar. I mean, this is, you know, it's kind of a trap. I mean, I don't know. Sammy Hagar is sort of like just useless, really. Like, he's just kind of been around because he was around. Like, he's not good or bad, I guess. It's just, I mean, you know, AC/DC is the gold standard of having a second singer. You know, Genesis, I guess, maybe. But I prefer Peter Gabriel over Phil Collins. But my point is that, like, very rarely do you ever replace a singer and things go well. And I think Van Halen is closer to things not going well than things going well. I think that he was by far the lesser of the two singers of Van Halen. He has kind of a sort of boring solo career. I'd rather listen to Sammy Hagar solo than plenty of stuff out there. So it's not like you're asking me my opinion of, you know, Smooth by Santana and Rob Thomas. Like, it doesn't quite reach that level of alarm, but I think useless is the best way to describe Sammy Hagar. It's like, there's just nowhere to put him where he actually makes an impact on anything. He's just kind of this, like, ridiculous person. So, anyway, nice try, though. All right, thanks.
How did you say nice try before having heard the... Am I messing up the continuity by saying we heard that?
Oh, no, he knows. Yeah.
Okay, so it's nice try.
A suggestion.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Got it.
And he was claiming that we were trapping him in some way.
What would be the trap?
I don't get it.
Saying he likes Sammy Hagar, then you're going to make fun of him?
I don't know.
Oh.
He's not useless. He took on a very important cause, as we can
yes,
see.
He got the highway speed limit
he's
laws
not
changed.
Wasting his time with civil rights.
Once again, if you, like I said, Jared owns the Comedy Addict. If you want a headline there, just email Jared. He'd love to have any of you listeners out there.
Tony, what's your response to that voicemail?
Yes.
I mean, this is a typical knock on Sammy Hagar, is that, oh, he wasn't as good as David Lee Roth. But I mean, it was just a different band. And I think this is also kind of ridiculous in that, you know, rock music was changing. David Lee Roth did a few solo albums after Van Halen that were probably not even as good as the one Van Halen did with Sammy Hagar. So to me, that shows that it was the Van Halen brothers that were making that band. And as entertaining as David Lee Roth was, for where hard rock was going at that time, I think if anything, Sammy Hagar was actually helped keep them contemporary for another 2.5 years. So,
yeah,
I think, yeah, exactly. I just think that's like saying he's not, you know, or saying he's been around, he's done nothing. I mean, I think that was kind of that he's black. I don't think so. The guy made it about 20 years of being able to be successful in the world of rock music, which is aimed at, you know, 13-year-olds. I think that's pretty good. I think it's more impressive than a guy that did one album, you know, Guns N' Roses, or did, you know, good for 2 years and then became a complete embarrassment. I think is it more impressive to have a 20-year run of kicking ass.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And you know what else is aimed at 13-year-olds? Tommy's Advances.
Okay. So Sammy Hagar began his musical career as a member of the 70s heavy metal band Montrose. Hagar left the group in 1975 because of tensions created by his wild style of guitar playing.
Yeah, he liked to play it upside down, apparently.
That's such a funny sentence to me.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Oh, we couldn't handle the tension.
Rock and roll. This is rock and roll. No wild music, please.
Turn it down.
That's weird. May have been an ego thing, because, of course, Montrose, was the main... the name behind the band, and he maybe felt like he was a guitarist. He couldn't sing, so maybe he felt threatened.
Interesting that
Hagar could also play guitar.
Interesting that Hagar ended up in two groups where someone else's last name was the band.
I guess, and Hagar is a pretty cool name too. I guess
that would be a great band name.
That just speaks to how cool the names Montrose and Van Halen are.
Montrose is pretty good.
It's a pretty cool name, but
yeah.
So
I want to read some of this before I forget, because I read some stuff about Sammy Hagar's, I think this is autobiography. This is an article from the Houston Press called Sammy Hagar, Red Rocker Crew Shaming Sex Machine.
What?
During the tour to support Van Halen's For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, singer-guitarist Sammy Hagar certainly took the record's title to heart, because just about every night during Eddie's 20-minute guitar solo, Hagar would retreat to a hidden tent beneath the stage.
Oh, no.
There he would find five or six pre-selected completely naked female audience members waiting for Sammy to fuck them.
Whoa.
And it said fuck. Houston Press?
Yeah.
Is this their like newspaper?
Is that a real paper? I guess anyone can just register. It's probably the Houston Chronicle. Isn't that their newspaper? This is just some psycho's website.
Sammy Hagar was in there fucking.
That's right here.
He was fucking.
Two or three of them were women. Two of them were unicorns.
It's right here in the New York Oregonian.
Yeah.
In fact, Hagar says he had so much sex on that tour that for a while he actually wasn't able to climax anymore, oh. No matter how hard he tried.
Wow, there's the song titles trying on this album.
F-use for Unlawful Carnal Knowledge.
Yes.
You got and did you get cake. The pun on that? You get the pun? For Unlawful.
Fuck,
yeah. Okay, sorry.
Oh.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh! No.
So you got pound cake. You got spanked. You got pleasure dome. And that's just side one, baby.
Yeah.
The rest of them aren't good.
You know, but, I don't know. You know your girl gave pleasure dome.
That was...
What's interesting, pound cake, I don't know how far are we going to giving his like career history first? Or and then
we jump around
and
annoy the fans.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But what do they prefer? Because I want to do what they'd like to hear, a sort of retrospective and then kind of diving into different...
They'd like to hear whatever the fuck we want to
do. Okay, all right. Yeah, or what do you guys prefer?
Our little piss piggies will chomp on whatever we give them.
Well, I was the one, because I was going to say that was the kind of first, that album was the first... Well, it's interesting, first of all, the song Pound Cake, I've done a close analysis of the lyrics, and it seems to be about...
Is this on your playlist?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I put the number one.
Well, let's play it.
Okay,
yeah. I don't know what you said.
Okay.
So I hear what you said.
Yes, because actually this was... anyways. Yeah, or should I start talking, or are you going to start playing it?
I'll play a little bit of it, and then we can talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah, tell me, because I have a lot of thoughts on this song.
This is not playing.
Oh, yeah. You may not realize it plays. It starts with a drill solo. And this is a thing back in the late 80s. Bands would use chainsaws and drills. And like, they were running out of ideas for kind of hard rock and heavy metal. There was this band called Jackal where the guy played a chainsaw. Van Halen playing a drill here. Anyway. Yeah, so it takes a minute.
Here we go.
Good. I mean, well, this is the first Van Halen or Sammy Hagar song I ever heard, because I didn't know about the other Van Halen
really?
Stuff. Because this
you
came
never
on,
heard Jump?
I maybe I like. You know, it was the thing. I only really listened to new music that was on like MTV.
Yeah,
and I didn't like have any like I didn't have an older brother. My parents listened to no rock. They listened to no music recorded after 1970. And MTV then only played brand new songs. There was no... They wouldn't play Jump whenever this came out. It was, that was ancient. So this was the first Van Halen or Sammy Hagar thing I ever heard. And I thought it was great. And like I said, I didn't know about the David Lee Roth stuff. I wasn't old enough when that came out. And maybe I would have recognized Jump if it came on and something. But I didn't... You know, this was the first I saw, and I thought this band is cool. I like this. I saw it's rocking hard. It
is rocking pretty hard. Maybe, I didn't really admit.
And then, like, looking back now, the lyrics I think are about making love to your wife. If you listen to it, it's about how a lot of guys want to, you know, be out on the road and a different girl. This is it. There's nothing like. I think Pound Cake is referring to your wife or long-term girlfriend's vagina. So I think that's what it is. Looking at it now, but at the time, I was a young, I didn't know any of this stuff. I probably thought it was about cake. Who knows? But it just had a great, catchy chorus and cool guitar solo. So I was into it.
Reading about what this is about. And,
am I off or what do you think?
I don't think you're so far off, okay. But completely wrong. So this says, explaining the lyrical influence of this song, Sammy Hagar said that he liked people who were like Pound Cake. Oh. That is. What you see is what you get. Nothing to hide.
Oh, okay.
Which fits Tony's.
I guess sort of. Yeah, it's like about a girl like that you know, or I guess not. I guess it's about like we said, he couldn't even climax, so now he just wants a woman that's not trying to rip him off or something. Is that that's all he cares about? I don't know. Yeah, for some reason, later I thought this is about I don't know, but I guess I was wrong.
I think the words speak for themselves. Yeah. If I can just quote really quick.
Yes, please.
Let me get on some of that. I want some of that. Give me some of that. Got some real fine pound cake. And I don't think, I think that totally speaks
for
itself. I guess I was right. It is about the beauty of a relationship. I guess you're right. Yeah, it's not just so much about sex.
I've been out there, tried a little bit of everything, but it's all sex without love. I found the real thing is pound cake.
Yeah, that's why it says about him.
Seconds after he wasn't able to get an erection.
Yeah, you're right. He couldn't climax anymore.
Hey, boys, you guys ever heard of love?
What do you mean? Well, I was with this chick. I couldn't get it up, but I still wanted to talk to her. That ever happened to you? Maybe that was no.
Oh man, that was Pound Cake.
But anyways, it was the first song and that got me into the band Van Halen, and but like I said, I knew the Hagar music first.
You knew Hagar before, David
Van Hagar, as people would say.
Van Hagar, yes. And I didn't even know there was a whole thing in the back and forth. I didn't get into the David Lee Roth stuff till later.
What were your thoughts on it? Because I think we should touch on that at least a little bit, because reading about them today, I watched a bunch of videos. Yeah. It was like the first Tupac versus Biggie. There's so much.
It's like a Conan Jay Leno thing too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of anger and there's a lot of like history. They like changed at one point. They tried to become friends and do it together.
Yeah, they tried to do
a
tour together.
Very strange shit.
Yeah, it's just I guess it's just David Lee Roth seems like a crazy egomaniac. Eddie Van Halen seems like a complete jerk and a control freak, and so they weren't getting along. And Sammy Hagar seems like a nice, kind of normal guy who just wants to have sex until he can't climax anymore and drive over the speed limit. Yeah, but David Lee Roth is a complete maniac.
Right.
So, but I guess I could see. I think this is the kind of thing that like the David Lee Roth albums are much more, I guess, stripped down, and the production. You know, if you're like a kind of a teenager who like takes yourself seriously, you might think, oh, the Sammy Hagar albums, they sold out and tried to get on the radio or something because they had more synthesizers and they sang more about love instead of just getting drunk. But there's plenty of songs about getting drunk and stuff like that on the Hagar ones. I guess it's just not, doesn't sound as dangerous or whatever. But I mean, I think it would have been worse if these guys were getting older and still trying to write the kind of stuff David Lee Roth. And also, these are the David Lee Roth. And I probably do like the David Lee Roth albums more, but the David Lee Roth supporters conveniently overlook some of he would make them do like ragtime songs because he had it in his head. This guy's in his head. He thought he was like the next Al Jolson. I'm not kidding. And he actually did a video around 1991 with blackface in it.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was so David Lee Roth is a crazy guy, so I definitely would take Sammy Hagar's side just as a human being.
Sure.
And I think they had plenty of great songs, and Sammy Hagar had plenty of great songs before and after. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, these psychopaths.
Well, he made a good point
that
about.
He's ruined the band or something. It's insane.
He made a good point where somebody asked him if it was weird to do the takeover thing, and he was like, I think it would have been weirder if I didn't already have a name. Like, if I wasn't a guy already, like if I was a no name. I think that's a good point. I think people were a little like,
I think people were stoked. I've talked to some people older than me that were stoked about him joining because they were already Hagar fans. I mean, it would be like, I get somebody joining. I mean, I don't know
any
new bands.
If Jimmy Buffett joined Bare Naked Ladies.
Yes.
Right now.
Or how we all felt when John Mayer joined the Grateful Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Top two acts in music on tour together. Finally. But, so I don't know. So I think people just got very, but it's also like.
I'm reading an article that calls David Lee Roth doing blackface an embarrassing moment.
it's weird that it was a little, unfortunately, he kind of already, by quitting Van Halen, I mean, it was, lucky for him, his music became completely unpopular at the exact same time he did that blackface video. It was like the same week Nirvana came out. So he was able to avoid any blowback by being irrelevant. So he managed to make himself irrelevant through music instead of by doing blackface in a video, which is, good.
So lucky.
Yeah.
That's really funny. That's like if like Alanis Morris had killed somebody the same week Justin Bieber broke.
Right, yeah. I don't know. I just think it's crazy to be that much of a partisan for David Lee Roth. And they didn't even put out that much music with David Lee Roth. They put out like 5 30-minute albums. You know, it wasn't like this huge legacy that was being tarnished. They got Sammy Hagar, and still just fun party rock music. Get over, yourselves, David Lee Roth partisans. Also, I think I think people maybe say that because it also feels like a cool opinion to have.
Sure,
like you want to hang out with the boys. Man, these guys sucked. Where they got Sammy Hagar? It seems like something that would maybe get you points at the bar. Like,
hipsters.
Yeah.
I remember it was like a very surface. I had a totally surface level knowledge of Van Halen, but I like knew it was like the cool thing to say that David Lee Roth, that you like to do. And like, I love like Panama, like blew my mind when I was like a 13 year old who was just learning how to play guitar, and I'd like never heard harmonics before. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. You know? Fuck Sammy Hagar.
I mean, the David Lee Roth albums are more kick ass. And I think probably, the Sammy Hagar albums are good if you like, maybe they're just not going to have the same kind of replay value in the future but if you like things like Journey and Foreigner and stuff like, it's arena rock, but it kicks ass, but maybe if it's not something people are going to go back and discover because it doesn't sound that unique for the time, but I don't know. Who knows if they had kept David Lee Roth, and they probably would have done a whole freaking ragtime musical in blackface. I think they probably did the right move by getting that lunatic off their band. Well, you can look. I mean, not
the
to defend
this guy are insane.
Yeah, I mean, he made like a sketch comedy show with tons of racist stuff in it. Oh, the guy's just a bad guy.
I watched a video of him.
I mean, he's a great guy. I love it, but he would have destroyed their legacy much more probably than Sammy Hagar.
I was watching like just a compilation of shit about all this stuff earlier. Yeah. There's a video of him just growling at a reporter, and then it cuts to him in what appears to be a music video where he's dressed as, it seems to be, a Native American with like a headdress and shit, and he's at a gas station and he asks for a bottle of anything and a glazed donut. And then he looks closer into the camera and he goes, "To go." Like,
he thought
was this cool?
He was really thought he was funny. And he was trying to do sketches. And I think he thought that bit of that video was so funny. He went on and was like, "I'm going to do more comedy. This is what I'm hilarious." I mean, there's other stuff in that video that's, I know the one you're talking about, it's like, "Not if you were the last Arab on earth." There's like, very rough stuff. And, so this is what I'll say is that the band probably, Van Halen probably wanted to make more kind of like less heavy metal, more poppy arena rock music anyway, and it wouldn't matter who the singer was. So I don't think you can blame Sammy Hagar saying he ruined the band when they were just keeping up with the times in rock and roll. That's my opinion. So I don't blame him. I think he's a fun singer. And anyways, I think the tunes we'll hear on this playlist speak to his talent as a musician. And I think if you played 20 Sammy Hagar songs and 20 David Lee Roth songs, you Sammy Hagar solo music, David Lee Roth only it would stand up better.
Sure.
Well, luckily, this is going to be a six-hour episode, yeah. So we're going to do just that.
Let's
do
20 songs a piece.
Yeah.
Full songs.
And then we're going to watch a season of Game of Thrones. We should go to Facebook. I found some more stuff in this Houston Press article that I really feel like needs to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to read his autobiography because this is insane. It says, Hagar also tells of a rough and tumble early life of gypsy-like meandering for his mother, father, and three siblings. Not helping matters is that dad was... It says dad, which is weird that they call him dad.
It's like his brother wrote this.
Yeah. Not helping matters is that dad was a belligerent alcoholic who favored fighting in and out of the ring, at one point trying to throw punches at firefighters who had come to save his house.
That's
after
incredible.
He passed out with a lit cigarette burning it down.
That's amazing.
I feel like if Manchester by the Sea, he shows up to the burning house and starts trying to fight the
people out.
Hey, get the fuck away from my family. A lot of Manchester by the Sea references.
Okay,
on the
show.
Okay,
I didn't see it. But,
you gotta see it. Also, a Hagar family camping trip might include Grandma trying to hit Hagar Sr. with a rock.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh. It's not nice.
Yes, you should.
Okay. Sorry.
I might post this Houston Press thing on the Instagram or something. You got to check it out. We should also go to Facebook while we're looking at the old comp. Joe McAdam. Friend of the show writes, Sammy re-recording I Can't Drive 55 to be I Can't Drive 65 when speed limit laws changed is the funniest thing. Very much.
Is that
true.
Literally the only thing they changed?
I have to imagine.
Oh, no, did they change any other lyrics?
It'd be
wonder.
So funny if they didn't.
He could do something about electric cars. I feel like people are pissed about electric cars, and that's like a whole audience waiting to be tapped into.
I can't drive driverless cars. let's see. A lot of people wrote about Montrose. Oh, this is kind of an interesting thought. Andrew Durso writes, Sammy Hagar's first band, Montrose, legitimately rules and has a number of songs that sound like they're begging to be covered by some cool modern-day Pitchfork-approved garage artists like Ty Segall or Kurt Vile. There's a few gems from his time in Van Halen, but that's more so because Eddie still had the occasional good song in him. I weirdly admire how unpretentious he is, but at the end of the day, he still marks the point where Van Halen stopped being Van Halen and became boring factory grade 80s divorced guy metal. Damn. I will say there's a lot of divorced guys who commented on
it. I just want to say really quickly, since we're going to get off this topic, but the song, the I Can't Drive 65, he recorded it for a NASCAR compilation CD called NASCAR Full Throttle.
Yeah.
So
the interesting thing about NASCAR, there are actually no speed limits. Let them go as fast as they want. So I don't know what they're talking about. I think in NASCAR, if you want to be a rebel, you say, I can't drive. You want to go slower. Do you know what I'm saying, Tommy?
If you want to be the bad boy of NASCAR,
you go slow.
You just put it in neutral.
Yeah, what he meant by I can't drive 60. He wants to go 55 in NASCAR.
There's
a movie for you
about that. That's so funny. There's a lot I wanted to cover with this song that I actually forgot. This song was in multiple video games.
NBA 2K.
Do you know the year?
Like recently, and it was really weird.
18, it was in.
I can't drive 55.
It did not fit
it made
at
no
all.
Sense.
It was so funny. Every time it came on, I was like, is this the game? This is so weird.
It was the same year Pound Cake was in Madden.
It's in another video game also, maybe even more. But it was also used in the 2018 film Bumblebee.
Because that's like a big 80s music thing.
Sure, sure. Actually, it's... it's in multiple Guitar Hero games.
And the lyrics are in my Bumble profile.
It was also in Twisted Metal. Wait, the song is featured... Oh, also a film from the late 80s. Cult film. This is a blockbuster. Back to the Future Part 2.
Cult film.
Oh. That makes, cult classic. It should be in Back to the Future Part 2.
It makes
that makes
sense.
They should have done
Don't they drive
80,
55?
85.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He should have done it. Yeah. It's a perfect... Yeah.
You should just do a version every year.
But, you know, to speak to that comment about how it became divorced dad rock, if they had kept doing the stuff they were doing with David Lee Roth about being a drunk teenager, people would have said it's embarrassing.
Sure.
It's just like...
It's a lose-lose, yeah.
Yeah, you can't win. If you, that's the problem with rock music, just by its nature. If you try to age with your audience, it's you're making dad rock.
Yes.
If you try to stay young, then you're, you know, a pedophile like Tommy. And so there's just no way.
Well, that's
to
like
really...
if I hang out at a school as a kid, it's like, oh, I belong there. But if I hang out as an adult, right. I'm just like,
it's weird. So I don't know. I think they did a great job with Sammy of keeping up with music. I disagree that it's boring dad rock. It sounds cool. It's, you have a few drinks. I think this is great music to listen to at the bar, you know, with your divorced buds, you know. I'll be honest. I've been divorced, and maybe that's why it speaks to
is
me.
That
but
true?
I one time years ago, but I've enjoyed it since before I was divorced. So I will say that it has nothing to do
so
with
can you
divorce.
Speak about the whole situation of your divorce?
Yes. And did you like the music more after the divorce?
No, ignore the music part.
Yeah, actually, tell us more
about
your personal
doesn't
life.
Andrew Collin have a podcast about a divorce?
Who knows?
I'm saving that for
maybe,
that.
Maybe about the HBO show.
Yeah, no, I really liked that show, but we're not here talking about that.
stop divulging weird personal information.
Sorry. Can you just delete that? I don't know why I said that. I just felt like I had to... get a reaction out of you guys, you know? We're just sitting
here. Reacting the whole night.
Oh, yeah. I know, but,
you
know, it's like you're on stage. We guys, we get it. We're stand-ups. You know? People are listening to you say a real opinion for 3 seconds. You start getting flop sweat. You know what I mean? I
was it's also very hot in here, to
it
be
is,
fair.
It is, yeah.
We know who got flop sweat. Same
anyways, I don't think it's divorce. even if it's divorce, Dad Rock, it's great. He's singing about going to the beach. He's singing about making love to your second wife. Yes. This is all stuff divorced or not, we can appreciate. So I disagree that it's
fair enough.
I think it's great. It's a bigger sound. That's good. I
fair
think
enough.
Good, yeah.
We are also this episode is sponsored by his tequila, Cabo Wabo.
Cabo Wabo.
I drank it once. Tasted good to me. I mean, I don't know if tequila from a hole in my ass.
Wait, you can make tequila out of a hole in your ass?
No, I was saying, no, I was trying
see.
To.
I like
play,
it.
There's
already
a
worm
words,
down there.
But anyway, I tried it. It tasted okay to me, but. Oh, my God.
Oh,
anyway, it
boy.
Tasted okay to me. And anyways, I did put a couple songs from Montrose on the list.
Let's listen to those now.
Yeah,
because I think they do probably sound cooler now, but only because they didn't have the technology then to make them sound like 80s music.
Sure.
But they probably would have wanted to make it sound like 80s music. I don't know.
Let's hear some of Space Station number 5.
I think this
five.
Song is great. I love this
is
song.
Off Montrose's self-titled album.
This sounds
Montrose.
Like a lost
PlayStation like... number 4.
This to me, this sounds like a lost Led Zeppelin cut.
Oh,
yeah. So I think it was this song I listen to all the time. And, I just discovered this a couple minutes ago.
Definite Zeppelin vibe.
You gotta give it a just give it a stress. Trust, just it's gonna kick it more ass. That by contrast, when that riff kicks in my opinion.
So there's debate on whether this song is about living in outer space or about how performing a certain act puts one on cloud nine. Probably the former, because Hagar has gone on record that he believes he was abducted by aliens as a child.
He did a big expose about him in the Houston Press.
I'm going to only get my news from the Houston Press now.
He's just drinking coffee in the morning, flipping through the Houston Press.
That I've printed out.
Which is the act that makes you feel like you're in Cloud Nine?
I have to imagine it's intercourse in your ass.
Oh, God. I think it's about space. This was like the 70s. People were writing songs. It was like...
Absolutely.
The songs about that stuff.
Free love was over.
Love was over in the space. After the moon landing, people stopped looking at the only rocket people wanted to launch was the Saturn missile. No more penis. Penis love. Sorry, I was trying to.
I like Tony slowly unraveling on the second half of this podcast.
This show does become a stress test. Yeah. We turn the heat up throughout the show.
Yeah, it is very warm in here. Yeah.
That song is very
I
fun.
Like that a lot.
Yeah,
it's a great song. Riff. It's just a kind of reminds me of a communication breakdown by Led Zeppelin. It is cool, but I think it's, they just didn't have, it's just bare bones production, but that's because that was just what was available at the time. And it's cool. It shows the guy knows about cool rock.
Yeah.
So got to give it to him.
And you can tell that shit. The tension from that crazy guitar playing.
Yeah.
You can just hear it.
You can hear a guy raising his eyebrows like, really?
Make mine decaf.
There's actually a really cool, I saw a YouTube video because Montrose, where they were, of them playing a song called Paper Money. I didn't put it on the plays, but if you look up them doing it, they're doing it on one of these like rock shows in the 70s. It's amazing. It really kicks ass.
I listened to a few Montrose songs today because of this, and because I think Jeff Lewis put a video of theirs on the Facebook. Let me just see what song it was that he put on here. In Doubt, or is that a Michelob? Oh, no, Montrose Rock the Nation.
Oh, they put a title. A good one.
Why is this In Doubt by Michelob Ultra? We're sponsored by Cabo Wabo. let's go ahead and listen to...
Was there another Montrose on the playlist?
Bad Motor Scooter.
This was Montrose's only kind of radio hit, but it's pretty good. And Soundgarden named their album Bad Motor Finger in tribute to this song title, yeah.
Spoon Man was named after Sammy Hagar, who loves spoons.
You get lonely on your daddy's farm. One thing is, we're hearing it in one ear. A lot of these 70s songs that really only had a few instruments, so the guitar is all in the ear.
Yeah.
I'm not hearing, but trust me, it's a good guitar.
It's it.
Yeah.
But the listeners aren't hearing.
Okay, great.
Baseline.
Yeah.
It's
good on its own, yeah.
I'm afraid of your dad. Taken out of context, it's such a funny rock lyric.
So good. I really like that. Mostly because I'm afraid of your dad.
I'm afraid of your dad.
Apparently, this is the first song Sammy Hagar ever wrote.
Oh, wow.
Let's see here. On the original, lead guitar was by Ronnie Montrose. The live version was recorded for the 1978 All Night Long album, on which Hagar did most but not all of the axe work. Towards the end of this track,
well, if you're on that farm, you got to do.
Towards the end of the track, he relents. I've been hogging all the lead here. I gotta let my man have some. And there follows a short but amazing duel with second guitar, Gary. This says Pill. Is that right?
I don't know.
Phil.
Gary Phil.
Either is weird.
Phil, two 80s dad names.
P-I-H-L.
Gary Phil.
Gary Phil seems very strange. Yeah.
But I think actually that's, people say, that, I think that's something he added to Van Halen, which is that a lot of the great early Van Halen songs, Eddie Van Halen did two cool parts on the same song, but then when you go to see him live, you can only play one. So when right. Hagar got in the band, I think might have been better live with Hagar, musically anyway, because he could play the rhythm parts.
More guitar, less black.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That was a tough trade.
I do think if they wanted to update this one for modern times, he could say, get on your Razor scooter.
Yeah. Get on your bad Segway scooter and ride.
Yep,
wouldn't that be a funny parody? Hello, SNL. Segways are hot. Pete Hagar
Davidson.
Is hot. Put them together. Anyway.
Oh, all right. That is Bad Motor Scooter. Very fun songs from both. Both.
Is that it?
No, we have more, but those are the two.
Yeah. I only put you said
songs,
say, the
I
two.
I did. I'd
tunes.
Never heard Montrose before. Yeah. You sent this playlist, and I think Montrose sounds pretty cool.
They're
it's
pretty cool.
It's
yeah.
Really good band. Just
I hear
a hard rock.
Just hard
Zeppelin?
70s rock. Yeah.
It's not very not overproduced. Not too much. Fuffing around. No frills. No frills. All rock.
God, we hate frills on this show.
Yeah. So sick of frills.
yeah, it's good stuff.
I found another. There's some more. We actually got a ton of comments today on the Facebook. A lot of them are about I Can't Drive 55, so I'll skip as many of those as I see fit.
Drunk with power.
Brad Wilhelm, comic at the Comedy Attic, yeah. Who you can see hosting at Limestone, writes, I saw Sammy Sagar. I saw Sammy Hagar open for Boston in 1980. Boston might be the worst band in concert I've ever seen,
wow.
And Sammy destroyed the place. And Patrick Regan writes, I saw Sammy on his Standing Hampton tour on 81, maybe, and he was amazing. So, better live than Boston. I used to love Boston.
Boston's great, but, you know, they were
that.
A studio creation.
Right,
I think probably
right,
why they weren't good. One guy did everything, so maybe
yeah.
Why they weren't really alive.
You know, there's a racist part of the band Boston. It's called
it's
Boston.
Called Boston. Damn. let's see here. Shit. Jason Salmon writes.
Jason Salmon.
Salmon.
Jason Salmon. I know him.
I should have said that right.
You know Jason.
I just asked.
Very funny man.
Yeah.
Very funny guy. Writes. Hagar's Van Halen was less rock and roll, but way better musically. That's interesting. Miranda Britton writes, I know next to nothing about him, but when I saw the name, my brain auto-responded with, angry little bastard, man.
She might be thinking of Hagar the Horrible, which was a...
That could be.
You remember this? It was a newspaper comic about a Viking. So maybe that was
she
what...
May be thinking.
I don't know, because... Sammy Hagar's definitely not angry. He's like the least angry guy. He's literally happy 100% of
yeah.
the time. He drives around, and I guess when he can't go over 55,
yeah.
literally every other song is just about how much he loves partying,
no,
rocking.
No, he reminds me of rocking Jimmy Buffett, for
yes.
sure.
Yeah, it's very similar kind of vibe. It's like, yeah, hard rock Jimmy Buffett. Yeah, he has his own like Margaritaville-type
yes.
stuff. He's got his tequila. He's... Anyways, yeah.
Which, by the way, someone also commented about the tequila. Gary Stumbo writes, I went to Cabo San Lucas in my younger years, and I remember that I met some locals who made fun of his tequila the whole time, and they called it piss water. I bet Tommy'd love that.
I heard on an interview or something that he made more money off tequila than he did off of music.
Wow.
He sold his tequila brand to, like, Seagram's or something for $80 million.
Damn. He's just, we got to make a tequila.
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking. I got to come up with a tequila. He probably didn't make it himself either. He's
of
just
course.
A guy famous for getting drunk at some company saying, can we put your name on our tequila? It's like George Foreman. You think that guy made a chicken patty? Not once. And the guy literally made more money from that
That's
than from boxing.
Point. I never thought about that
just
before.
Stuck his
yeah,
name
George
on that
grill,
stupid thing. He didn't
George Foreman
grill.
Was inventing grills.
No. Retired. He's a boxer. Was he just sitting at home with a soldering iron making this grill? No. He just stuck his name on it, but that. They gave him the same thing with his tequila. So that's what you got. We got to get famous for something else so that someone will give us a lot of money.
Damn. I do like the idea of George Foreman just frustrated and have, like, crumbling up pieces of paper.
Blueprints,
like,
yeah.
Blueprints for a grill.
Made a lot of money off his tequila.
No, you're told. Actually, the last comment is James Briller wrote, he sold it for $95
million what?
And started a rum
million?
Company also. Wow. Amazing. Okay, let's listen to some more music. Let's listen to heavy metal.
So this is a cool, I think, kind of a cool song. It's a little, I don't know, need any backstory on it. But
sure. This is his solo shit,
yes,
right?
This is solo. Yes. Okay. And this was in the movie Heavy Metal, which is kind of a sexy cartoon for teens.
Oh, hell.
It has nudity.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's like
that was one of those that I watched because I knew it had nudity.
Yeah, exactly.
It said it on the
yeah.
On
it's
the
like
description.
You would see it like a video store as a kid and be like, "Oh, I gotta get like Porky's or something."
Yes. Yeah. That's
yeah,
great song.
It was on the movie Heavy Metal, the soundtrack, and kind of the theme
sure.
of the movie. I wouldn't really call it heavy metal, though. You know, if I'm being honest,
yeah,
it's more just kind of hard rock, boogie rock. You know, it's like
yeah.
party rock. It's not really... But back then, I think this is just... I hate to throw my parents under the bus, but I think people just thought anything was heavy metal.
Yeah,
they didn't
yeah,
really. Because
yeah, yeah.
I remember once my mom said they stopped listening to the radio once they started playing heavy metal bands like The Doors.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's kind of like... I think heavy metal just became a catch-all to...
Sure.
Yeah, that's what causes that violence in teens.
Yeah.
Songs like
I
this.
I call that heavy metal. Yeah, it's just a, you know, but a good song, and I remember hearing that on the radio. I feel like I hear that, I Can't Drive 55, they would play it on like
sure.
classic rock station, get decent rotation.
I just realized the other reason I remember the movie Heavy Metal
yeah.
is that it was one of the first movies that I saw pop up on like Cinemax or whatever
yeah.
as NC-17.
Yeah.
Which you're like, this is going to be fucked up.
Right. I never really saw it, though. I think I saw parts of it on a bar. It's just got like cartoon
yeah.
boobs. There's no, it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a.
Not to kink shame.
Yeah, well, that's fine, but I'm saying it's not really that raunchy, I guess, compared to nude. Humans, a nude cartoon, wouldn't you say?
I would agree.
Yeah. Anyway.
Were we in a court of law?
Yeah.
I would say a reasonable man could assert.
Yeah. But that song was, and there was other stuff on there that wasn't very heavy, Steely Dan and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Heavy. So.
Yeah, there's actually a list of bands they use on this. Black Sabbath, Cheap Trick, Journey, and Devo were also
Devo,
on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
There's nothing heavier than Don't Stop Believing.
They also used this song in an episode of South Park,
oh,
the
nice.
One where Kenny gets high on cat urine.
Nice.
So a lot of piss stuff on this one today.
What was
so
other
much.
Piss thing?
I can't remember. Oh, the tequila was like
it tasted like
yes,
piss. Yeah,
like piss water. we just have one song left called yeah. The Best of... just called
is this
Best
the only Van Halen song on the playlist?
Pound
oh.
Cake is
Van
Halen.
Oh, Pound
Halen.
Cake was Van Halen. Yeah, no.
And yeah, this is one I think is just my favorite Van Hagar... Van Hagar song. It's my favorite song. A little bit of a... It's good. It's kind of a little bit of an AC/DC vibe to it. Yeah.
It sounds so much like AC/DC
but,
in the beginning.
A little more. I think Sammy brings his kind of sunny California... touch to the AC/DC like groove.
Ironically, we just talked about the song "Best of Both Worlds" by Hannah Montana.
Whoa!
About three episodes
came
ago.
Up when I just googled "Best of Both Worlds,"
and that also happened to me, which is why I was thinking of it. What do you think is better, Tony? Hannah Montana or Van Halen?
I gotta go, Montana.
He just,
no, I'm just
he just
kidding.
Said, "I don't know." Yeah. Right when I asked that question,
I was trying to think of a funny response. I mean, I prefer Van Halen, but you know, music. Yeah, it depends. You know, we all hear with different ears. You know what I mean? It's like, what's the point even of having opinions about music? Why are you guys even doing this? You know, I'm just kidding. It's a great song.
This can be everything we dreamed. It's not worth the
This is an interesting song because it's about his solo career and his new career.
Oh, is that what it's about?
Apparently, throughout the album, he sings of feeling like he had maxed out his solo career.
I had a kind of jokey theory about this, but I think maybe it's...
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what some of them... Is that right?
I thought it was maybe about someone that has the parts of both the... that are considered biologically female. Female, but I don't know.
That does sound pretty sick, though.
I'm not... I don't think I said anything. Anyways,
I know you did.
Maybe it's about the solo career. Maybe it's about the solo career.
Wait, I'm reading something here that says
maybe it's
about
love
having...
and sex. I probably all his songs probably about having sex, but you're in like a good relationship too. Would be my guess.
No, I'm reading. This says it's about someone who has the greatest pleasure of all, which is having both sets of genitalia, and it says it's from T. Zaret.
I think it's probably just about being in love. I don't know. It's a pound cake. What is the theory? Best of both worlds.
Sorry. The theory is that this is about... he sings of the satisfaction and joy he found as the new lead singer of Van Halen in Best of Both Worlds, one of the more musically sophisticated, lyrically progressive songs from their 86 album, 5150. Lyrically progressive leans towards what you said.
Right, yeah. I guess it's about being poly. I think that's maybe a bit ahead of its time.
Yes.
Like you can have sort of the comfort of of the friendship of a relationship, but also get to enjoy the physical love of various partners.
That's beautiful.
Thanks, but I don't know.
I don't think
it's even about being in the band. I think it's just about something. I mean, I don't know. Best of Both Worlds.
I do like that song.
Yeah, it's a good song. Anyways.
We've reached the end of the playlist.
Yep. Tony, before we give our ratings, let's do a final defense of Sammy Hagar. Whatever you want to say.
This guy knows his way around the hard rocking riffs of AC/DC and Judas Priest, your early 80s metal, but he splashes it all with a bit of California sunshine. And good luck putting on a Sammy Hagar album without at least pumping your fist and cracking open a cold one once. If you don't like Sammy Hagar, frankly, I think your problem is you don't like fun. So let's all head down to Cabo and have some Mas Tequila, to quote his terrible rewrite of Rock and Roll Part 2, which I cannot defend. Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Tony, that was amazing.
Thanks very much.
I'll go first. I like this place. It was kind of refreshing because we haven't done any like hard rock music.
I don't know if we've ever done Journey
or Bob Seger. Like, we haven't even been, I don't know.
But it's still, this is like a little different. Like, I don't know if we've done
it was refreshing
quite like this.
So I enjoyed it. I'm going to go 3.75 out of 6. I like I Can't Drive 55. That was like the one I really knew from my youth. I liked both those Mantra songs, and then Best of Both Worlds. I liked. I hated Pound Cake. I thought the lyrics sucked. I thought the sound sucked. It sounded gross to me. Like the mix sounded gross. Not to go all Judge Hangman on you, but
you're gonna go easy.
But 3.75, pretty solid.
I think I'm gonna surprise a lot of people here. I'm gonna go 5.5.
Whoa!
I really enjoyed this, and I didn't think I was going to at all.
That is a shock.
Probably the only song I didn't. I think that I liked. I thought I actually enjoyed the sound of Pound Cake. I didn't like the lyrics, but I enjoyed it. But I agree that getting an erection, I really liked. I still liked Pound Cake somewhat though, and I didn't mind Best of Both Worlds that much. I enjoyed it enough.
Nice.
But I really liked the two Mantra songs a lot. I Can't Drive 55 is fun. Heavy Metal's a good time. I really enjoyed it.
Wow.
I was in the sun a lot today.
Yeah.
What do you give the playlist, Tony?
Out of 6?
Yeah, you rate your own.
69.
Oh. Hell yeah.
That's the kind of humor Sammy Hagar would probably with like Pound Cake, the kind of double entendres, the clever kind of twists on words.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dan Rather's like, how do you 69?
69. Putting your face on a woman's watch. I'm from Louisiana. We had a word for that.
You have to fold yourself to get into that position.
the man does what? Let me ask you this. You rock and roll guys. Anyways, rather
everyone, I'll start a plug for our guest. I think Tony Zarrett is the funniest person on Instagram. Oh, his videos make me laugh every single one. 100% that they put
agree.
Out. I begged him to be in one of them, and he let me do it.
Yeah, no, it was great to
it
have
was
you.
So fun.
Look up to go at TONYZARET. You can see some videos with Tommy in them.
Best Instagram account there is.
So funny.
I recommend it to people all the time, and I you will definitely have a good time. Check it. And also, it's fun to read the comments on them.
Yes. Yeah, people get in on the bit.
Full experience. Is there anything else you want to promote?
I guess that's it.
Star Wars.
I got a show, but I have a show. We're trying to make it weekly in June. I think we'll be starting Mondays in June. It's at Kinfolk, which is on 90 Wythe Avenue in Williamsburg. And
but
so
this week.
But this week, will this be out by the
if Wednesday. This comes out Wednesday.
Wednesday, great. Thursday, we're doing our Thursday one. Tommy is going to be on the show.
Yeah, you can see us both.
You can see us both. It's at a place called Kinfolk. It's 90 Wythe Avenue in Williamsburg, 7:30. Doors. It will start when enough people come in that it's not awkward. So hopefully
what
it
every poster
yeah, exactly.
Say.
Now I thought Kinfolk was a clothing store.
Well, this is what's interesting. It's got three parts to it. There's a kind of a nightclub area.
Yes.
There's a clothing store area, and there's like a bar area.
There's a clothing store area.
It's like in the middle that sells clothes with the logo of the bar.
So I was trying to buy a suit last minute on Saturday, and I was like in Williamsburg. I was like, where can I buy a suit in Williamsburg at 6:30 p.m. on a Saturday?
Yeah.
And I ended up getting one at J. Crew, and it worked out. But I texted Nick Danny, does Kinfolk sell suits? And he acted like I was the craziest man
in the
world. No,
they sell
clothes. He says, it's a bar.
Yeah.
But it's a bar.
Jonah Hill appreciation party that he showed up to at Kinfolk.
Yeah, the club.
That is very bizarre.
Very weird.
The club part of it has some weird. Yeah. That is weird. Yeah, the
club
part of it has like.
It wasn't his fault. I missed him by 10 minutes.
Anyway, they have cool DJs and stuff there, but we'll be doing it in the bar, and it'll be fun. Yeah, and Tommy will be there this Thursday. It's 90 Wythe Avenue, 7:30, right by the Bedford L.
Yes. And also.
Well, I was going to say this Friday, I'm in Philly. I'll be doing half an hour at the Good and 10 p.m. show. And then, as we've said before, the last few episodes, June 13th, recording my album, Please Come.
Awesome.
Yes, I'll be opening on that, and I'll be in L.A. for the first, 2 weeks of June, so check my schedule, come to see some shows, it's going to be a good time. Thanks for listening, everybody. Tony, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Keep it crispy. Bye.